Today is Daf Mem Zayin. We are actually on Mem Zayin, two lines from the top. So the Gemara we discussed yesterday mentioned the concept of a basis l'davar aser. That's something that's a base, different rules of how it becomes a base, but something that's hold, that's rested, muksa is resting upon it. On Shabbos, it becomes a basis, it's a base for the muksa, and it itself becomes aser to move. Called a basis l'davar aser. Different way. Have you put? Oh, it's usually for you, it's put placed there intentionally to sit there on Shabbos, right? So it has to do a lot. Lamaisa has to do a lot with people who have their candlesticks and the candelabra that is on their table. So it's become a basis. The table, the candles, the face of the candelabra becomes a basis for the candles. How you deal with that? So Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Romanus. Rabbi Romanus does not appear so often in Shas. He does appear in the Gemara and Yavavos. He's clearly a contemporary of Rebbe. And Rabbi Romanus said, Li hitil Rebbe, Rebbe permitted me, litaltel machta be'efra. He allowed me to carry what's translated as a censer. Right? A censer. A censer is some sort of kli that we use to burning incense to make a nice smell. So the problem, what's the problem with that? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shalavona be'efra. It was something that was used for a lavona. It was for good smell. Kasal kadaita, because we even at this point in time, be'efra, what means be'efra? Im efra ka'amar, with the ashes inside it. You would burn the lavona, and there would be ashes inside it. Sha'efer muksa v'lo hayitzvichano. The efer itself is muksa. So the efer is being held by this machta. Right, the Ashmiin and the Agav Machta, the Ikatos Kila of Tiltela Ima Ephra, they allowed you to move the Efer in this kli. Meaning, how did they do that? The Machta is now a basis of Davar Aser. It's a basis for the Muksa of the Efer. The Efer is Muksa. The Machta is holding it, and now it's a basis. He's allowing him to move it. Now, apparently, pointed out here, the Rishonim point out that they're referring to a case where the ashes are Muksa. I mean, you haven't expected to use the ashes for a Shabbos. Those clearly these are muksa ashes, yet you're allowed to move it. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira Ravasi, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. How can Rabbi Yochanan have said this? I'm not sure why they pick on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is like third in the chain of five people here. But Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan actually say this, that you can allow him to move this kli that has a muksa inside it? Vatanan, we have the following Mishnah. Right? Mishnah says, Notel Adam Bino. The Evan Biyado. Let's say your son, your little kid is holding an Evan, a stone. You can, nevertheless, you can still pick up your child to carry him, because the child does not get considered a muksa by being held there. Gemara there explains why, but Gemara also says, or you can also kalkala the Evan Besocha. You can carry a basket that has stones. Stones are muksa machmas kufo. They're muksa, inherently muksa. Allows you to carry the basket, but Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, he gives a caveat: Bil kalkala melea peres haskina. The only time you're allowed to move the basket that has stones inside is if the basket also has peros in it, meaning that the basket is a basis for davar aser and davar mutter. It has both things. That's when you're allowed to move it. Taimud is beperi. The reason why you're allowed to move it is because it has peros. It has fruits inside. Halles beperi, but didn't have fruits. Right, low. It would be usher to move it. Right, Rashi says haleka peiri low. Why? The kli nase basis le'evin. The kli will then become a base, a support for the stones. V'tfeila low. Seems that it becomes tufel. It's an issue of what's more important. V'tfeila low ubatal Torah's kli today. It loses its status as a kli. V'hachanami nasis machta basis le'efer. So to in our case, this pan, this machta, should become a basis for the ashes. Rabbi Yochanan Shmuley Le'el, because Rabbi Yehuda Shmuley. We know that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the concept of muksa. So the ashes are muksa. So this is also the machta should be a basis and should be allowed to move it. So had Rabbi Yochanan report that Rabbi allowed Rabbi Romanus to let him move it? I don't know what the big deal is. Rabbi Yochanan holds one thing. Rabbi told Rabbi Romanus something else. Okay. So the Gemara says Ishtomim Kishah Chado. So Rabbi Asi was quiet for a moment. He didn't answer right away, because he thought. The Amar, and then he said, in order to say that this goes in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan as well, he said, Hachanami de isbe kerotin. Our case must be where there are also some sort of granules of unburned incense inside. apparently the granules of unburned incense inside are not muksa, and therefore this machta, now even though it has the ashes, it also has these granules, leftover granules, and therefore just like the basket is holding both muksa and heter, so too this machta is holding both muksa and heter. Right, Rashi says, the isbe kartin, shenishtayiru min or, they were left over, they didn't get burned. Ulavona the chaz l'reach, and they're not muksa because they're still something that can be smelled, something of a good smell. Va'agav levona, and because of the levona, metata l'machtim afra. That's why you're permitted to carry the pan with the ashes in it. Dumya the kalkalim le'er peros etem socha. Exactly similar to the case of the basket that's filled with peros and the stones inside it. So Gemara says, Amar Abaye, kartin be rebi micha shivi? Wait, kartin are these little leftovers of levona. Whose house were we dealing with? This was Rebbe. Rebbe was a massive usher, right? Wealthy man. And therefore, these little things have no chashivas. They're nothing to him. He wouldn't have thought about them at all. So therefore, they should be batel and have nothing to do with the afer. So the only thing that's now being, the only thing that halachically is being carried in this machta is the ashes. Right? They were not chashiv to him. So the Gemara says, okay, wait a second, fine. So maybe it's not important enough to Rebbe, the chitim of chazal aniyim, but maybe these are things that it's something that's still worthwhile for the aniyim, so they still have chashivas. So the Gemara says, no, I guess when it comes to this muksa, to this idea, there's a little bit of a subjectivity involved here. Atanya, based on following Brisa, this is the Gabi Tumah. By Tumah, it says, Bigdei aniyim la aniyim, or Bigdei ashirim la ashirim, aval aniyim la ashirim lo. When it comes to tumah, to determining whether something is a kli, whether something is a beged, based on size. So the Gemara says, look in Rashi says, shlosha al shlosha, right, which means three tefachim, right? Shlosha is zachar. So shlosha al shlosha, havu begadim la'ashirim, those are considered clothing. If the cloth does that, three tefachim and three tefachim, that is clothing for the ashirim. The culture came laniyim, and therefore, clearly, obviously, it's also going to be considered clothing for the aniyim, and therefore, it can be makabel tumah. About big day aniyim la'ashirim lo, but something so small, like say three etzbos by three etzbos, that might be something chashiv for an ani, and therefore, but if an usher has that, he doesn't think that's an important piece of cloth. So lo havi beged gabayu, it wouldn't be for him a beged, the lo makabli tumah, and therefore, it wouldn't be able to contract tumah. Hachanami be rebi batli krotin. So to the same thing here. When it comes to the begadim, one second, my internet is weak. All right, when it comes to the krotin, the krotin by Rebbe are nothing. Right, they don't count. Just because it counts for the aniyim, it doesn't count for Rebbe. So therefore, these things should be nothing. They should be batel. And if they're batel, then the only thing we have in the pan again are the ashes. So how did Rebbe allow Rav Romanus to carry the ashes, according to Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says, all right, you know what? Another reason why. The Rabbi says, let's reject that. The reason why he was permitted to carry the ashes has nothing to do with the fact that it was a buses for Dabar Mutter along with the Dabar Aser. El Amar Abaye, midi dahabi a graf shel rei. It's the same thing as graf shel rei. Graf shel rei literally means tsoa. It's like manure. Something disgusting like manure. As Rashi points out, Ela Amar Abaye, had to surely the taltal machta ba'afra. Why were you allowed to carry the pan with the ashes inside? Mishum to afra mois alai leroso, because the afra is something disgusting for him to look at. Vahavi kegraf shel rei, and becomes like this disgusting thing, like the tsoa, the tiny b'mseches beitza. Like we say graf shel rei, we view that as garbage, which you know this comes to the shiloh, whether you're allowed you take the garbage out. I mean, assuming that you haven't tied the knot and it's an eruv. Where you're allowed to take the garbage outside. The garbage is muksa, there's a graf shel rei. What if you put the garbage bag down? Can you pick it up and then bring it out afterwards? But we see here, the tiny mesechas beitza, mutter lo tzila, ashma shel chatzer. You're allowed to bring graf shel rei, you know, out into the chatzer. So to here, the reason why Rav Romanus was allowed to move this mata was because the ashes were considered graf shel rei, says Abaye. Rava says, can't be. I'm a Rava, stay chuvos badavar. I'll give you two reasons why the ashes in the mata are not similar to graf shel rei. Number one, chada, graf shel rei mois, v'halo mois. Graf shel rei is disgusting. It's gross. Tsoa, right? That's disgusting. These are not disgusting. It's just ashes. They're not anything that's really disgusting. They don't smell. They don't interfere. But ode, number two, graf shel rei migalei, v'ha mikasei. Graf shel rei is open, right? You have the manure on the floor. It's open and exposed. What are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with what was called, what our school defined as a censer. The censer was this closed kli, and it had holes inside it. And what you do is you would light it, and the air and the smell, the spice, would come out through the holes. So it was covered. So you don't even see the ashes. So it doesn't even, it cannot constitute grash already. So we're back to the drawing board. What's the reason why you're allowed to move the Efer? So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Abaye, Ki Havinin Beisho Rav Nachman. When I was in the house of Rav Nachman, Hava Metaltalim Kanuna Agav Kitma, the Afalgav Ika Ale Shivre Eitzim. What they would do is they would carry this Kanuna. This Kanuna, apparently similar to what we to the Machta, was this copper tray or something like that, where they would burn something inside it in front of the, it's more like a portable heater. They would burn coals inside it, and the heat would come through, and they would place it down, I guess, and it was used to warm them up. So they would carry this, even though the fire went out, because the ashes are inside, I guess because they thought that the ashes were not muksa, even though there are broken twigs inside. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kenuna. He says, clean the choshesh, mevim boho, or if they start in this chameim, it's this warming thing. Agav kitme, shayu tzrichim la'afra l'chsos rok otsoa. So we're changing the whole thing around. Initially we said that the afra was muksa. Now we're saying, no, the afra is not muksa. The afra can be used, or the afer, right? The afer can be used for covering spittle, for covering tzoa. So the Gemara says, so then why would it be us? Why would they, what was the big chiddush that they allowed you to move it? Even though there was something muksa inside, right? But Hadra of Romanus Nami. Now that answers Romanus' case as well. The Afra, we're changing the whole case. The Afra was not muksa. We thought before the Afra was muksa. Now saying the Afra is not muksa. You can eat it. You can use it. Why? You can use it to cover tzor, to cover spittle, right? The Vidaitu Alayu. And therefore you had das on it from yesterday. It was not considered muksa. And it's teaching us a chiddush that afagav the ikalei shiver eitzim to have a kakalah shall pay us emes socha. Even though it has these other things inside that are muksa, but since it has the afer which is not muksa, therefore you're carrying it something that's not muksa with something that's muksa, and that therefore it doesn't become a bus. Basically, we flip the whole thing on the head, and then we go from side to side. In the beginning, we thought that the ashes were muksa. Now we're saying the ashes are not muksa, so we have no problem. The ashes are not muksa, so therefore the plan is considered a bus as a davar mutter along with the davar asr that's left inside. Yes. Right, if you have buses, the davar aser, everyone will agree. If it's buses, davar aser, davar mutter, then it's not considered muksa, and you can move the buses. How do you determine both? Does it go based on the value? Like the whole thing with the candlesticks. You have silver candlesticks on the table. You have silver candlesticks on the table, and then, hold on a second. Okay, better. You have silver candlesticks on the table, and then someone puts a challah on it, right? Does it go by value, inherent value? Does it go by what you need? You need the challah that day. So that's a machlokas. I know Rav Moshe has a two about that. Some people put a diamond ring on the lachter instead. Some people don't even put the lachter on the table. But that's a whole to do. Okay. So now, they're going to ask on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman just said that he allowed them to move this heating utensil with the ashes inside, even though they had these broken pieces of wood that are inside. Yossi, can you hear me? Okay, fine. Now my internet goes in and out, so that's fine. Okay, so Mesvei, so they asked in the yeshiva, V'shavin, V'shavin is who? V'shavin means both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who argued earlier, right? What would they argue they're pointing to? With a candle, right? They argued earlier by an old candle that Rabbi Yehuda said you're not allowed to move it because it's muksa machmos mius, but Rabbi Shimon would allow it because he didn't hold the muksa machmos mius. But they both agree, V'shavin, She'im yeshba shivrei pesila she'asul etaltel. They both agreed that if you have like these broken or leftover parts of the wick inside the candle, then I guess after the candle goes out, you're not allowed to move it because he says it becomes a basas adavar aser, right? He says they become aser. So what's going on here? So how did you allow to move this heating thing with the shivrei eitzim inside? Right, because of the ashes that are inside the mutter. What about by the candle? By the candle, you have shemen left over, which is not muksa. And nevertheless, Rav Shimon will not allow you to move it because of the petilos, because of the wicks inside. So what's going on? So Amar Abaye says begalila shanu. No, it was in the galil, and that makes a difference. What does it make a difference in the galil? So Rashi says, "Begalil Shana," he says, "Shechashuvos lahen shivrei psila." He says, "In the Galil, I guess they were poor, I guess, and they did not have a lot of these wicks, and therefore any leftover the wicks becomes extremely valuable to them, and the value of the wicks overrides the value of the leftover oil, and therefore it's as if the oil isn't there, and it becomes a basis only for the wicks, and that's why it's aser." Rashi says, "Shechashuvos lahen shivrei psila." They don't have, pishtun clothing there. Hilkach lo batli, definitely it'll become batli. Venasis ner basis lehem, and the ner becomes a basis only for that thing, which is muksa. Tosfos has some other shitos. Tosfos says maybe the galil means that in the galil oil was so plentiful, so they didn't care about the leftover oil. They just, who cares about the leftover? We have so much for it. We're not going to save it. So therefore, again, there's a subjectivity in value of to what is in the what's in the kli. So what they're saying over here is based on that subjectivity in Galil, the reason why they didn't allow you to move this, we had the wicks, leftover wicks and leftover oil, is because the wicks were so much more important. And if the wicks were so much more important, it only becomes a basis davar aser and not a davar mutter, but it doesn't mess up what we were saying, that if you do have a basis davar aser and davar mutter, then you're allowed to transport it. Okay. Levi Bar Shmuel, Ashkichinu l'Rabbi Abba u'Rav Huna Bar Chiya. So Levi Bar Shmuel found Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya. To have ukame a pischa de be Rav Huna, because they were standing at the entrance of the house of Rav Huna. Amr lehu. So Levi Bar Shmuel says to them, "Mahu lahachazir mita shel trasiyim b'Shabbos." Are you allowed to put together the coppersmith beds? What's the mita? Rashi says, "Sorfrei nechoshes o gardiim v'hochin lemiir liir lemalacham v'nosim imam mitos shoprakim." They had these portable beds that would be disassembled and reassembled. Right, they would travel from place to place, and they had these portable beds that they would reassemble that bed on Shabbos. Can you reassemble that bed on Shabbos? So they said, "Shapir dami." Yeah, it's permitted to reassemble that bed on Shabbos. Right, but also the Kamei, Levi Bar Shmuel then came before Rav Yehuda. He came before Rav Yehuda, and he also asked him, "Are you allowed to put together this mito shel trasiyim on Shabbos?" So Amar, so Rav Yehuda said back to him, "Harav Shmuel namar tavayu." Rav and Shmuel both said, and Rav Yehuda knows what Rav and Shmuel both says because he was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. Right, so he says, "Amar harav Shmuel namar tavayu hamachzir mito shel trasiyim." If you put together this bed of the coppersmiths for Shabbos, chayiv chatos, you chayiv chatos. Not only is it asin tarapon, it's chayiv chatos. What are you chayiv chatos for? So some say you chayiv chatos for bona. Some say if you don't hold it, this binyan b'stir b'kalim. So maybe chayiv chatos for makib b'patish. But one who's Levi is Rav Abba and Rav Huna said it's mutter gamrei, and Levi and Rav Yehuda says it's chayiv chatos. So what's going on here? So now the Gemara is going to try to prove. We'll get to Tosfos in a moment. The Gemara is trying to prove now that Rav and Shmuel is correct that if you put it together, you chayiv chatos. So Meisvei they ask on Rav Abba and Rav Huna as follows. Hamachzir k'nei menorah b'Shabbos chayiv chatos. If you put together, I guess the menorah, I guess the menorah had a lot of stems and things that came out. So if you put it together and I screw it on together on Shabbos, you chayiv chatos. Again from bonei makom patish. But kones sayadin, the kones sayadin, the best way I can describe it is like you have like the window washers and they have these things that the poles that go out. And it's like an extension thing. You can extend it a little higher and lower. So these kane, right? So these kane sayadim, so it's in different pieces, right? Lo yaxir, that you not, it's like a long sectional pole, right? So lo yaxir, vim hexir, but if you did put it back together, it's pater of al aser. So that's only aser rabbanan. So what's the difference? The difference is, Rashi says, she'ein ze gemoro, so it's sarach lachzor afroko tamid. Because you're constantly opening it and making it bigger and smaller, so it's not completing. You're not finishing the process because it's not going to be. It's not considered bonus because it's not. It's always taken apart. It's always taken apart as opposed to menorah. Like I said, it fell off once. You put it back together. The idea is that you want it to stay. So putting the menorah back together is chayiv chatos. Putting the painting pole together, it's only aser midir abanan, right? And Rabbi Simai adds that keren agula. Chayav, if you put together this round horn, it's chayav chatas. Keren pshuta, straight horn, it's pater. Again, the difference being, I guess, being that the round horn is put together very strongly. Rashi says, a keren agul of a keren pshuta, shnehem min keli zemer, they're both these instruments. Vuhasoy nikovin kikavra, they have like holes, like a sieve. Umachnis ben chalilim, umotzin kolos harbe, right? It's like a flute. So Keren Agula Maisa Umanhu, the round one is a, you know, is something that's only put together by an expert. The Tsarach Litkoa Binikov and Bichozik Vav Melacha, and you have to, I guess, press it down strong and becomes a Melacha. Or the Keren Pasha Machlitzu B'Rivuach, but the Keren Pasha doesn't take so much. The Dark on the Prakam Tomei, you can take it apart, therefore it's Pater of Alasar. But if you see from here that if you put the menorah back together on Shabbos, you're Chayiv Chatas. So therefore, why would they say that if you put the bed together, you're not Chayiv, you're Pater? Why would they say that it's, at least they should be a Chayiv Midrabanan of some sort, but they say they completely Pater. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, no problem. Inu da Amar Kahai Tana. They hold, they have a different source. They have a source from another Brisa. The Tanya, the following Brisa says, Malbinos Hamita. The Chara'os Hamita Ulevachim Shel Sikivas Lo Yatsir Vim Hichsir Pater. Whatever these are, you're not supposed to do that. If you do, it's a Dinder it's Vim Hichsir Pater Valasir. And then Lo Yitka, you can't put them in strong. Vim Taka Chayiv Chatas. But if you put them in really, very strongly, you're Chayiv Chatas. Or Shem Gamil Omer Im Hayarafoi Mutter. But if you just put them in, you know, not so strong, you're not so permanently, you're temporarily putting them in, then you're only going to be. You're going to be Potter. So what are these cases? The cases are, at least they talked about a bed socket, right? The bed socket, Rashi, the article says in earlier times when houses had dirt floors, the wooden legs of the beds would be inserted in sockets, which rested on the ground and protected the legs from moisture. You know, like those things we put on the bottom of our chairs and our furniture, so as not to get ruined, they had a similar idea. That's the bed sockets. Then they had bed legs, which was the legs of the bed itself. I guess that can be attached and reattached. And then crossbow nuts. This is something that's notched, a piece of wood that's notched attached to a crossbow. And that's what you use to guide the arrow. So these things, you're not allowed to put them together. Right? You're not allowed to put them together. But if you did, in Hichzir Potter, Abal Aser. But then Bryce said, but if you did it, Bechosek, if you talk about it strongly, then you're Chayav Chatas. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, if you did it weak, then it's Mutter. So what's going on? How does this answer the question? So first of all, it must be our guys, I mean, our two people of Ravuna and Rabbi Chiya, they're holding like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who says that it's Pater, it's Mutter. So Tosos gives us a clue as to how to go answer. This Tosos on the top of Mem Zayin Beis basically asks, he doesn't like the original Machlokas. How can it be that you have an action? Usually when you have an action on Shabbos, there's a Machlokas about it, the Machlokas is going to be one stage apart. Someone's going to say it's Chayiv Chatas, someone's going to say no, it's Pater Aval Aser. Someone's going to say it's Pater Aval Aser and it's Mutter. You shouldn't find a case where somebody says it's Mutter and someone says it's Chayiv Chatas, it's Aser D'Oraisa. That's too far, it's two steps removed, you don't have that. So what Tosos says that the Machlokas is really going to be about, and the Machlokas here is whether it's just a different case. But they were talking about different cases. What Rav Abba and Rav Huna and Bar Chiya were discussing was a case where you put together this bed, but you weren't yitka. You didn't put it together strongly. So in that case, he's going to say that it's mutter. But he would agree if you put it together in a strong way, then it would be pater aval aser. But Rav Yehuda was talking about a case where you put it together strongly. You forced it together. He's going to say yichayev chata. So then the machlokas is only one level. There's only one level apart. But we answered for Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna is that they get a hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says if you put together in this weak way, it's not a strong connection, it will be mutter. Okay, next. Bei Rav Chama have a mita gilal nisa. Right, they had this bed. I think it's like a sectional bed, similar to the coppersmith's bed, and had the sectional bed that came in pieces. Have a mahadri le biyom atova. And I guess they will put it back together on Yontif. So Amaleah, who made the Rabbanon, the Rava, so one of the Rabbanon said to Rava, "My datach, why do you think that they say that this is mutter? Binyan min atzadu. I mean, it's not real binyan because it comes back and forth, but nehidi sur deraisa leka, isa mi derabanan ika, at least should be asa mi derabanan. So Amaleah, so the person said, Ana Rava said back, Ana krafshim min amiyos virle. I hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel just mentioned before. Damar im hama rafoi. If when you put it back together, when you screw it back together, it's not a very strong connection. Im hama rafoi mutter. They're allowed to put it together on Shabbos because that's what they would do here. They wouldn't put on Yontif or on Shabbos. They weren't putting it together, you know, really attaching the pieces. I guess maybe they're leaving the screws out. It was a weak attachment, and therefore he said that there's no binyan over here, and therefore it would be mutter. Right? That's what people use this to say. About how can you closing up, not even opening a bottle cap, closing a bottle cap on Shabbos. How do you close a bottle cap and stop? She's putting it back together. So the idea being is that the bottle cap is not made to stay on, but it's made to open and close. So that's why you can take it, you know, on and off. I mean, that's the idea. The Chazon Ish happens to point out, though, you can't really close it to make with the intent that it should stay on there, you know, forever, because that might be, you know, you're building it back. Okay, side point. What? Because the door, the same idea. The door and the window are made to open and close. Same thing with the bottle cap. It's made to open and close. That's why, because, I don't know, maybe you're recreating the bottle. If you're putting it away, right, the door was, I mean, it's the same idea. Maybe that's the same answer. Yeah, it's the derech to open and to close, and we have to be careful. Well, we learned it with the trapping case. I don't. Okay, all right. I don't know. We have 100 days to find it. I'm sure we'll find it here in Shabbos here somewhere, right? We're number 47 with 146, right? Okay. It's like till August something. The next Mishnah, last Mishnah in the parak. Noslin kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotzos. You're allowed to put the kli under the candle. I guess the candle is lit on Shabbos. You let it place a kli under the candle so that when the sparks come out, they go into the kli and they won't burn. They'll fly anywhere else and they won't burn the... They won't burn the house. The lo yitain l'socho maya, but you can't put water into this kli. Why? Because that puts the candle, that will put the sparks out, and that will be an issue of mechaba, of extinguishing. So Gemara asks, wait a second, how can you put the kli underneath to be mechaba l'muksa? Didn't we say, we just said 4 days ago that you're not allowed to place a kli and then by placing the kli in a certain place, make it that you're no longer allowed to use the kli. Mevatel kli mehichano. Right? Rashi says, mevatel kli mehichano. Delo yuchol li tolo. You're not going to be allowed to carry the kli anymore once you place it there. Misham kol hayom Delo yuchol litlo misham kol hayom denasa busless nitzotzos. They become now a base for the sparks. And lame with the yufta, the rechizda, the asa repirkin. This should be a kasha, a rechizda, who said, you're not allowed to do that sort of thing. You're not allowed to be mevatel kli there. So Gemara answers, no, it's very different. Amar Rahuna Bered Rav Yeshua, Nitzotzos Ein Behen Mamash. Nitzotzos don't have a status of an item. They disappear. Once they fall in, they're gone. So you're not being, so in this case, Nitzotzos Ein Behen Mamash, therefore you are allowed to be metaltel a kli for the Nitzotzos, and that's not going to be mevatel the kli. Because once Nitzotzos hit the kli, they're gone. They're not there anymore. Okay. V'lo yitein l'socho mayim mipnei shehu mechaba. But you can't put water in this kli because the water in the kli will then put out the sparks, and that's an issue of mechaba, of extinguishing. So Gemara says, lema tinan stama kim Rabbi Yossi. Should we say that our Mishnah is now in accordance with the shita of Rabbi Yossi? Because, right, the Amar goreim l'kiboy aser, who says that gram kiboy, you're not putting out the flame here, you're causing, it's a step removed. I'm putting a bowl of water there, and then the sparks can come in and go out. So that's gram kiboy. It's more of a grama. So maybe we should say this goes according to the Shita Rabbi Yossi, who says gram kiboy is usher. What's the case of Rabbi Yossi? Right, so look at Rashi, he explains it to us. Rashi says, b'chol kitvei kodesh, right, later on the Masechta, the katani, osim mechitza b'chol akelim b'emileim b'erikanim, kadesh lo tavor hadaleka. So what happened was, there's a fire, and you want to prevent the fire from spreading. So what the Tanakhama permits you to do is make like a barrier around the fire and in with kalim and fill the kalim with water so that when the fire gets to the kalim, it will burst the kalim, the water will come out, and it'll put out the fire. Right? You encourage the fire to go out. Rabbi Yossi Oser b'kli cheres chadashim lein mayim. He says you can't do that with kli cheres, with new ones, because she'en yuchol mekabel or, they're not going to be able to withstand the heat. And the hay mitbakim u'mechabim sitalekah. They're going to put out the fire. You're going to put out the fire, you're going to have a problem. So you see here that Rabbi Yossi is one who says that gram kiboy is a problem. So if gram kiboy is a, so therefore, the, so it's a little strange sometimes for one Mishnah to be stam for like, against, for Yachid as opposed to the Rabbim. So Gemara says, Tizbra, are you really? Is that really true to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi, right? Amor de Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Shabbos. No, Rabbi Yossi said his usher about Gram Kiboy was putting the water out on Shabbos. Tizmar Amor de Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Shabbos. right? But the Erev Shabbos, when Erev Shabbos mi Amar, when Erev Shabbos did he say it's Aser? We're talking about putting the kli to catch the flame Erev Shabbos before you lit the candles, right? So maybe he says that that's mutter, right? Because you're not doing anything on Shabbos, right? V'chi teima hachanam b'Shabbos. And if you say maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case on Shabbos, Vatanya, where Brisa says no sin kli tachas near the kabbal tzotzos b'Shabbos, vein tzorich lomer Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to put it on Shabbos and Erev Shabbos tanakama, but lo yutein no tocho mayim. But don't put water in there. Rav Neishu mechave. So I'm Erev Shabbos and tzorich lomer Shabbos. The Mishnah talking says specifically you're talking about Erev Shabbos. This Brisa explained the Mishnah. It's talking about Erev Shabbos. So if it's Erev Shabbos, how can you say? So if it's Erev Shabbos, right? Even an Erev Shabbos not put water in there, and if the Gram Kiboy, then the problem is, who is this Shita go? Who is this Mishnah going like? It's not going like Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef was the one. Only Rabbi Yosef said it only on Shabbos. So who is it going like? So it can't be going like the Chachamim, because Chachamim say you're allowed to put the fire out in Parak Kol Kisvei Kodesh. He said you're allowed to put the Kalim out with the water. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Ashi. The Gemara makes a distinction here that's very difficult. Ela Amar Ashi, Afilo Tamer Rabbanan. We can say that our Mishnah is like Rabbanan. Our Mishnah doesn't, and we're not allowed to put the bowl of water out, even though the Rabbanan allow you to put the water out in the Kalim later on. Mipnesha Mekariv Eskibuyov. Apparently, in this situation, it's a more direct form of extinguishing. Why? Let's read Rashi, right? Ela Amar Ravashi. The Mishnah goes even according to Rabbanan. This is not even the same as Gram Kiboy. This is more direct. There, when the fire reaches the Kalim, the fire then bursts the Kalim, and then the water comes out. Looks like there's an extra step involved. The Grama be'almahu. And that's just Grama. That's because it's two steps, I guess. But this one who puts the water directly under the candle, mechave mamashu. That's really mechave, because you're the one who's put. It's your action that's having. It's, I guess it's one step closer. You're not allowed to do it Friday night earlier because gzeir that you might do it on Shabbos itself. So he says because it's one step removed. Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos says, well, who cares if one step removed? It's still going to be gram. You didn't do it. You didn't pour the water into you didn't pour the flame or pour the water onto the fire, so it's one step removed. Right? So Tosfos says, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the difference is that in the case of the in our case where you put the water into the bowl, we're concerned lest you might raise the water closer to the candle. Because if sparks are flying out, and maybe you didn't place it in the right spot. Maybe you didn't place it in the right spot. And if you didn't place it in the right spot, you might raise it. And by raising it, then you're taking a direct action to put it out. So this still comes into a whole idea, you know, about grama, right? About grama on Shabbos, right? Can you cause something on, you know, cause something to be done on Shabbos, not doing it directly, right? What about you have cases where you have your air conditioner on, and it's really cold. So you move, in old days, you used to have those pins. Can you take the pin and move the pin to make it to go off earlier? I'm not doing anything. I'm just causing it to go off earlier. So the mice, they say no. The only thing you're allowed to do is with those pins is to keep the status quo, right? You're allowed to, with the timers, you can't. Let's say the air conditioner's on and it's going to go off in 20 minutes, and you want it to stay on. So I can, you know, those pins, you can remove it and it can stay on because then you're maintaining the status quo. But to make it to move the pin so it goes off earlier, or to move the pin to change the status quo, that's not allowed because that's going to be considered a grama. That's the gram. Same thing here. That's the gram kiboy, and that's something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Okay. Hajran lach hakira. Next perek is bametonim. Next thing. No, that's what we said. That's what I said. Atu erev Shabbos. Atu Shabbos. Right. Rashi said zeirim ojom atu misha chashecha. Right. So the next parak talks about insulating. The next part that we've talked about, discussed different things that are usher by Bishul, that are usher mitar avada. We discussed shehiya, leaving things on. We discussed chachzara, putting things back on the flame. Now we're discussing with hadamana, which is insulating hot food by wrapping the pot in some material, you know, as a way of preserving the heat for Shabbos. So basically there are two short rules when it comes to hadamana. Before Shabbos, you're allowed to insulate with substances that maintain the heat, not that they add to the heat. but not with, but on Shabbos itself, you can't insulate with anything at all. You don't insulate at all. What the rules are of Hatman, we'll get to. One of the major entertainment with Hatman is that it has to be completely wrapped. If it's not completely wrapped and a portion of the pot is sort of, is a substantial portion of the pot is exposed, then it's not considered hatmana, and that could be the reason why. I mean, the whole to do, you know, in the last years of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when he said that crock pots are hatmana, so people, you know, people stop using the, you know, the two-piece crock pots that have the insert, but then those who say it's mutter because it's the heating element does not cover the top, it's still exposed. So that was the heter over there. So the Mishnah says, again, based on the two rules that we had, that you're only, Erev Shabbos, you can be matmin with something that doesn't add heat, but it's not mosif hevel. On Shabbos itself, you can't be matmin even if it just maintains the heat. Right? So, b'met tomim, b'eim tomim. What may we insulate with? Rashi says, b'met tomim, habalas le kedera me'al gavet kira. So someone wants to take off the pot, off of the stove, ulitom le b'davar acher, and to insulate it with something. But Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said, ain tomim b'davar mosif hevel. You can't insulate with something that adds heat. Ela b'davar ha'mamid hevel, only with something that maintains the heat. Mihu ha'mosif aser. So the Mishnah is now going to list, you know, different things. What's considered, what is something that's mosif hevel, and therefore be aser Erev Shabbos. And one thing is only maintains the hevel, which is mamid hevel, and be mutar on Erev Shabbos. So b'met tomim b'tomim, ain tomim lo b'gefes. We cannot use gefes. Rashi says gefes is psola shel beis habad. Right, it's the leftover, the refuse from the olive press, shel shemen, shukamas yachad v'chamod. Somehow, I guess the chemical reaction, these things, they're very, very, they create warmth. So you can't use gefes, v'lo b'zevel, I guess zevel is some sort of manure, v'lo b'melech, some sort of salt, v'lo b'sid, which is, I think it's lime, v'lo b'chol, and not in sand. These all things, and it says, bein lachin, whether they are moist, bein yevashin, or they're dry, no matter in both situations, whether they're moist or dry, they are mosif hevel. The lo b'tevin, you can't use straw. The lo b'zogin, and you can't use the zogin. The zogin is like the psolis from the vineyard, right? It's the psolis of anavim. The lo b'mochin, I think it's something like tatin, right? Something soft. Rashi says kol davar rach kari mochin. Everything soft kari mochin can go into semer gefen utlishit semer rach shavahima. I guess some sort of cotton thing. You can't use that. The lo b'mochin, the lo b'asavin, and not with grass. That's only bizman shehin lachin. That's only if they are moist. Aval tomin bahen kishim yevashin. But you can use them Erev Shabbos if they're dry. Apparently, they only add heat if they're moist. But if they're dry, then you can use them because apparently they do not add heat. Just wanted to point something out. Just to go back to the previous paragraph, I forgot. The Tosos we brought down. We said they can't do kiboy, right? So if you look at the big Tosos Mipnei, the last two lines. He says, well, the third line. Umashe ragilim laseis mayim bizuchuchis shekorim lampa v'nos mele shemen. What they used to do is they didn't want to use so much shemen. So what they would do is, like we do also, they would put water into the lamp and then put shemen on oil on top and then they would light it. So now you're causing the oil to burn out because when the oil hits the water, that the fire is going to burn out. So he says, how can we do that? Right, the answer is pretty obvious. But Masha Gimla says, "Mayim bezchuchin shekorim lampa v'nosim ala Hashem ve'erev Shabbos ein ze karoy kiruv kiboy." That's not considered ground kiboy. The kaven, number one, it says kaven she'em eskaven the kiboy klal. Your whole intent there is not for kiboy. Your intent is just to raise the flame. You want it to be higher. Your intent is to raise the flame. Ela lahagbia es Hashemen lo shayech lemigzer midi shemiyase b'Shabbos. We're not going to make that gzera that we talked about before. We're not going to make that gzera about erev Shabbos. That you can do on erev Shabbos. V'sharei afilu Rav Yosef kol shekein l'rabbanan, right? He says, and not only that, d'im lo kein afilu below mayim aser shani tosos nol b'shemen. He says that if that was the case, it would be aser even without water, because then the sparks would fall into the oil and the sparks would go out then. But then he also in the smaller or at the end of Tosos, which is Tosos Yishanim, he says that if the whole idea, well, the water is putting the water in is not going to make the shemen go out any earlier, even if you didn't put the oil in. As soon as the shemen finishes, it's going to go out, right? With the oil, without the oil, it's still going to go out. With the water, without the water, the lamp is still going to go out. All the water is doing is raising the oil. It's not adding to the time of when the water is going to go out, because the flame is going to go out as soon as the oil, as it burns up all the oil anyway. Okay. I think I'm going to stop here by the Gemara, okay? Menachem's either off or on mute. So we're going to stop here. We stop here by the Gemara and pick up tomorrow morning. All right. Everybody have an excellent day. Oh, Mati, you're on. Good.